Hello, everyone. Welcome to the channel. It's me, Kaylee, and I'm here with a very special guest, Matthew, who's here to share you his success story. So, Matthew, welcome.
Hey, thank you.
Matthew is going to share with you today his amazing success story. We're just talking about it before we started recording. So I'm super excited to share the story with you. It's amazing and hopefully another source of inspiration for all of you to see that this recovery is possible, right? And just through the work that all of you do. So Matthew, let's start off. What were your biggest symptoms?
My God, I feel like I don't know where to begin because I had everything that people talk about. I think the only thing I did not have was digestive problems, but otherwise it was awful. I had mostly like brain fog was the worst, but the adrenaline rush, like the panic attacks anywhere for no reason. I would be in meetings having panic attacks. I'd be at the grocery store having panic attacks. The world didn't feel real to me at some point. The depersonalization, like life felt strange and not right. I couldn't sleep. Insomnia was probably, I think, the most difficult. I had no energy. I could not focus. I didn't feel like myself. I didn't feel like I could think or of anything like specifically longer than a second. It was hard to think of anything except anxiety for a long part of my life.
You can actually, it's easier to list ones that you didn't have, right? And we often hear that all the time. Anxiety can cause so many debilitating symptoms and simultaneously, or some come on and then some come off, but there's still a host of symptoms that are there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, panic, brain fog, were your big ones.
Yeah. And I have to say, I'm so excited to share this story in case it helps. Like the idea of possibly helping someone else, I find really exciting because I, for a lot of my struggle, I didn't think I would find help or I didn't think I would find a way through it. I thought I might be stuck like that forever. I really thought that was how I was going to be, and that my life was going to be super dark, and I was going to be stuck like that.
Which is a symptom of the anxiety itself. Now, looking back, I know that's actually a symptom of the anxiety and not something that's true, for example.
Yeah, I think the catastrophic thinking was also something I couldn't control and was not used to. Like this shit, like everything felt like doom was lurking everywhere. Like everything felt like it was going to be terrible. Like this filter of negativity was also so not me. Like I didn't identify that way at all. And it was hard to not believe, your mind's predictions of what could happen and how much fear comes with that and how much you need to prepare for the worst. Like the catastrophic thinking, I think, was also kind of one of the worst for me because it just never stopped. I found it kind of incredible and horrifying how much I changed so quickly because I didn't recognize myself. I could not socialize. I could not do the things I loved. I could not be active anymore, which was also a huge part of my identity. Yes, it's kind of incredible how much your mind can affect your entire world.
And that all feeds into the narrative that something else must be wrong with us, right? It can't just be anxiety doing this, which feeds into our anxiety, right? Because we don't hear about the way that anxiety does this. We hear about textbook anxiety. You feel nervous, you feel, upset stomach, shaky, but not the all-encompassing kind of state that we go into when we're sensitized, which is
Yeah.
different. When I always clarify, like, this difference between anxiety as like a textbook, like a feeling or an emotion, versus anxiety as a state, which is what you were in or I was in, right? And it's completely different techniques and strategies to overcome that.
And that's so accurate. Like it's so different having like an anxiety or I don't know, an anxious time where there's a lot of pressure and you need to do your deep breaths and meditations, but actually you're all right. You're just a little, you're pushed to your limit. And then this other state of being pushed completely past your limit where your brain is stuck in this horror loop that doesn't end and you don't know what to do and you can't stop it. This is like a totally different world.
All hips are counterintuitive, right? Which is why people don't think it. And then, yeah, but let's back it up a little bit. So how did all this start for you? What is your where did you first experience anxiety and all of this to where you are today?
So it's been roughly let's say 8 years. But I've had since then like little chapters of falling in the cycle, but like I mentioned to you, I didn't quite know how to articulate how it stopped. They were kind of different. It was because I had my dream job in the palm of my hand, and then I had an injury that meant I might not get that job. It was a performance, a show with Cirque du Soleil. I had an injury in my arm 3 weeks before, and I panicked. I didn't know what was going to happen, but it was like, it was my dream job of my life. And I had an injury, and then I started not sleeping well. I started really not sleeping. And then I started feeling like I couldn't breathe. And I started feeling like there was just weight on my chest all the time. And I was like, what's happening to me? But I was panicking. And the more it happened, the worse it got, the worse that I feared it, the worse it got. So it just started this cycle. When I enrolled with Bye Bye Panic, it was because it was like the fourth time in my life I had gone through this, and I didn't know how to control it. I didn't know what to do. And I didn't know how to articulate the other times where it had kind of ended after 3 months or 6 months. And when I reached out to Bye Bye Panic, it had been over a year that I was like this, and it was the worst time. This time was just because I had too many stressful things happening at once. I had a new job, I had to move, I had a new relationship that was a bit stressful at the time. Finances were a little tricky because I had just purchased a home, but then had to move, and it was all very like, I was kind of pushed to my limit, and then my job was also very stressful. All of this together put me in an anxious space, and I thought, okay, I can handle it. But as my stress got worse, my symptoms got worse, and then I started fearing what was happening to me again. Then I started thinking like, oh no, not now. This can't happen. I need to figure this out. I need to be okay. I need to work. I need to function at work. And it just spiraled from there. So from there, it just, you know, if you're trying so hard to fix it and make it go away, then every time it shows up, you kind of panic. And so it was just a nonstop cycle of trying to find things to make it stop because I needed to perform well at my job, which again was kind of a similar situation. It was my first time working as a creator for Cirque du Soleil. It was another version of my dream job. So it was kind of ironic that it happened again because of this kind of dream that was in the palm of my hand and a risk of like, oh no, if I feel this way, then I'm not going to get to live this dream of mine. So yeah, it just spiraled. It took me about 5 months of spiraling for me to hit what I would call kind of the lowest, like 5-6 months. And then I hit a definite rock bottom of sleeping like 2 hours a night, maybe, kind of just pulling myself through the day like a zombie. I could not focus. I could not think. I would be in a meeting and I couldn't tell you what happened in the meeting after, because all I could think about was how to fix my anxiety and how to help myself and what program could I try or what tactic should I be doing? What guru on the internet was going to help? What meditation was right? What routine did I need to make? I tried everything, and I mean everything. Like, I think there's a video where Sean kind of lists, or he says like all the things that are, you could try. I don't know, but I did all of them, all of the like, it seemed like every week I was trying a new approach. And as each one did not work, I increasingly got worse and more panicked because I wasn't making progress. I tried medication, did nothing, absolutely nothing for me except numb everything. It kind of numbed in general everything. So I didn't like that at all. That's how I fell into it and how it sort of escalated. And then I stayed at that place, I would say another 4 or 5 months of like kind of my worst, at my worst of not being able to function very well in life.
Yeah. So I just want to emphasize for all the viewers that, you know, Matthew brought up a really important point that I hear all the time in mentorship, where it's, I've had anxiety before, maybe as bad or like not as bad, but sensitized, and I came out and I didn't know how. That's actually very, very, very common. And I've actually had people come into mentorship before thinking that they're unique in that. And that kind of psychs them out because they're like, well, I came up before and I fell in again. And they use that as a narrative now of like, oh, this is just who I am, because I keep falling back in.
Yeah.
But whenever I asked them that question, though, that I asked you before the call as well too, where it's like, did you know how you get out, how you came out of it those other times? The answer is always no. And I think you emphasize that as well, right? Like you had fallen in before, like 9 year, 8, 9 years ago, and you came out. That's what I hear from everyone who had the same stories. I didn't know what I did. I just stopped caring and I came out. Why I want to emphasize that is because that's very, very common. So those of you who are listening, right, who maybe can relate to that, that we always say in the mentorship and what we teach is that we teach all of you the mind-body connection, and we teach you how, first of all, the science behind it. So how does our behavior influence our anxiety? So that we are very aware and we're very conscious of, like, what are we doing that keeps the anxiety alive? So if we know what keeps it alive, we also now know what are we doing that, what should we not be doing then, right? How do we change our behaviors to get rid of the anxiety? So, everyone who've had that same situation or same experience where they've fallen in before and have come out, it's simply because you did the work unknowingly. And why you fell back in is because it was unknowing what you did, you haven't intentionally stopped the habits and behaviors that keeps the anxiety alive. So inevitably you fall back in because you do the same habits and behaviors, right? Recovery is a process of a knowledge, becoming aware, so that you can then intentionally and consciously change your behaviors and habits so that A, you get out, and B, you never fall back in again because you know what you're doing that causes it. Thank you for sharing that. And we're going to get to that, which is really, really important. So before we go to the next question, you mentioned, so you tried medication and you tried, I think you said meditation as well too. Was there anything else that you tried to fix it before you joined the mentorship?
My God, honestly, I would have to make a list. It really was like a different strategy every week, every 2 weeks. And I was journaling through the whole thing. It's mostly because I wanted a record later of like what I was doing if ever I figured it out that I had proof or something. But every week was something different. I tried being really strict to a routine. I tried staying active until I absolutely could not. I watched my nutrition. I meditated every morning. At some point, I was meditating 30 minutes every morning, first thing. I tried different programs. I don't know how many online quick programs there's. I mean, once you're on Facebook or Instagram, the marketing's going and you're getting ads all the time of like how to help your anxiety. So, I mean, I don't know how much I spent on like the quick ones that it's like $99 for some audio course or meditation or hypnotization, like everything. There's so many audios, so many written programs, so many booklets. I bought different books to work through CBT exercises. I was doing therapy the whole time. My therapist was working with me. At some point, I think she kind of gave up on me because it's like, I don't know what to tell you. I tried everything, different medication. Sleep aids to try and help the sleep, breathing exercises. I did everything. I thought I was doing textbook all the things you're supposed to do when you're anxious, and even seeing doctors, they would say like, "Yeah, you're doing all the right things. Keep it up." I would be like, "No, you don't get it. I'm dying. Like, I'm dying." And journaling and meditation's not helping, like there's no amount of positive thinking I can do that's gonna turn this ship around. But I was panicked. I was this is this the most simplest word is like I was panicked every day for 14 or 15 months. And you can't meditate that away. It does not just disappear because you do the right yoga routine. It doesn't. You have to turn towards it instead of running. And it's so the truth. It's like you have to look it right in the eyes and sit with it and stare at it and stop running. It's so this.
Yeah, and all those things when you think about it, right? Once again, going back to being aware of how anxiety works and being conscious about it, right? We really think about it. All those things, all that we're doing is stressing our body out more.
Yeah.
One, because the intention behind it when we don't know is not to actually relax. It's actually to make it go away. It is only the brain and our body something is wrong, which is going to keep the symptoms alive. But two, think about how stressful like exercising and dieting and sticking to a really, really strict routine is. It just makes you feel more stressed. And the problem is our body is too stressed. It doesn't need more things to think about. It actually needs less, right? And it's super important. So, but yeah. Let's get to the good stuff then. Let's get to what actually helped. So, two questions in that. How did you find the mentorship and what, caused you to join? And then how was your experience in the mentorship? What about it was different than everything else? And what about it helped you to get to where you are today? So it's like four questions, but it's okay.
I found it just from watching Sean's videos. And I think pretty quickly I did the one-on-one, like the call just to see if it was a good fit. And I just wasn't sure. Like it felt expensive to me. And I wasn't sure if it was legit. I had doubts about it. I wasn't ready to commit to that. In the end, I have to admit, I'm really happy I did, because it was a game changer to have people who understood and knew the story, could share the story, had the same story, but also people who had gone through it and made it to the other side. It was very inspiring and helpful to have other people say, you are on the right track. This is it. Here's how to do it. Follow the steps. And we talk next week. And not in a way that's therapy of like, let's talk about how you feel, but more like, here are the steps you have to do. You have to do this. And it's going to be hard, but you have to do this. So it was the human connection of people who could relate that did make a big difference, but also a structured, clear plan that helped. Like sticking to one thing, not trying 30 different things in a month.
That's really important. I agree. And I know like many people who are struggling, right? You're turning to different ways to feel better instantaneously, how to get better. And when we do that, once again, only stressing our brain and our mind out, and we're keeping us stuck in that loop. So having, one thing to focus on is so important. And I love that you mentioned the community aspect of it, because I agree. Like for me in my journey, like Sean didn't exist when I was going through my anxiety. So I didn't have like a community. I had one person in my journey, my therapist, who luckily had gone through anxiety. So it was great because they knew what to do. But I always tell everyone in the mentorship, like, I wish I had a community, because hearing from multiple other people and having people who are all rooting you on and cheering you on and are going toward the same goal that you are is so inspiring and so helpful to your journey. Because for me, one of the things that I know mindset wise that probably kept me stuck longer than I should have, like longer to recover, is that I always felt like I was alone. That though that like I had my faith and I stuck to it, there's always that doubt in the back of my mind that, oh, no, but like, what if this is unique and it's not going to work? And I think having a community of people around me would have really helped with that, because I would have seen many people who had recovered than relying on one person who I was talking to. And online can be very like isolating, because I find online can be a fear mongering place of just people who are like, nope, I'm stuck forever. And this is you forever. Hard to like sift through and find the success within that, which is why these stories are amazing too. And like, I love doing this. And like you said, like being able to help others is how I'm here right now. Actually, I just wanted to share my story, hoping that I could help one person,
yeah.
Right? Because I want people to know that this is not a life sentence. Like, you are able to get out of this.
Yeah. And it is such an isolating feeling and such a discouraging feeling, because it is so easy, especially if you get stuck for months or a year. I mean, at some point when I was crossing the year threshold, I thought, my God, like, I've been like this for a year. How many years will it be? Just that thought alone is so discouraging and devastating that, yes, it is hard to do by yourself. And with I hate to sound like a commercial for this program, but honestly, having the chance to see different people in different states of the journey also helped. Like seeing someone who you could kind of see the mistake they would make when they would talk about it. You'd be like, oh, that's probably only fueling that fire. And maybe I'm doing that same thing. It helped. I have to say it. Honestly, I joined the program and within 6 weeks, because I also read Claire Weeks, like as mentioned a lot by Sean, and the approach was succinct and it made a huge difference. After 6 weeks, I felt 90% myself. After 3 months, I felt 100%, if not better, for having gone through all of this.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to actually ask next, right? Because so you were in the program for 3 months and today you're recovered.
Very much. And it's fun to say that because I didn't think it was possible. And something I hold in me now, like this knowledge of knowing exactly how to face this should it ever arise again. And by it, I mean being sensitized, being pushed past your limits, being too stressed, that panic and stress kind of take over. You really do have to sit with it and accept that your body is pushed past the limit, your mind is pushed past the limit, and everything that's happening is a normal reaction to fear, to overwhelm, to stress, to panic. It is actually the normal reaction. It just feels terrifying and scary.
We don't have to fight it. Like when we feel it, it's our body. Our body's not broken. Our body's not, you know, not going crazy. It's just our body is reacting to what you're telling it, right? If it's telling you're saying that you're in danger, something scary or stressful is there, and it's reacting the only way it knows how.
Yeah.
So how do we get out of that is we tell it the opposite via our reactions and our responses. But I love that you mentioned as well, Matthew, that like it's hard. It sounds easy. Except just do this. Let it be. But it's so much harder than just doing that. Like, and we know that.
Yeah. I used to get so angry at the term accept when I would hear this everywhere. Like I would see people saying, oh, you just have to accept. I was like, I don't know what that means. What does that mean? I need a book on acceptance, I think, because I don't know what that means. And I would get so annoyed by the word because I was like, I need this explained more than just accept it. I would say if I would say it myself, it's not so much, you don't have to like it, but you do have to stop fighting and stop running. You have to stop. Everything that you think is like to make it go away is making it worse. So yeah, it is. You kind of do have to accept it. You do have to sit with it. You have to stop running from it.
It's funny you mentioned that because you just reminded me like when I fell in my journey, and I went through many therapists. Like I went to at least 4 or 5 therapists because they weren't helping me because they didn't understand what I was going through. As you mentioned, my first therapist, she said to me right in the beginning, accept. Just accept it. And at the time, I was like, accept it? Like, lady, like, I'm 24 years old. Back then, not anymore. 24 years old. And like, my life has been turned upside down. Like, how do I accept this? What are you talking about? And I was like so mad at her for saying that. I didn't know what she was talking about. Because she didn't take the time to explain what anxiety was and the role in my body. If she just explained that first and then said, accept it, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I get it. Now I know why I'm accepting it. So that knowledge piece is like so, so important because you need to understand why you're doing what you're doing.
Totally. And I think Mirka said it to me best one time. It's like, you have to look at it like training. Like you don't get it right once and then it takes practice. You have to practice it. You have to do it the same way every time. You can't do it right for a week and then expect everything to change. It's like you have to learn, and you won't always get it right. You won't always respond. I mean, I think it the best the quick answer is that you do have to change. You have to change your reaction when it comes. You have to switch your reaction, your response. It really is this. Everything Sean writes in his emails is so dead on to what it has. You have to change how you react.
Yeah, I say like we need to change it from a reaction to a response. So a quick reaction, and then we just feed off of that initial emotion or thought that we have because we just believe it and go with it. But we don't have to, right? When we feel that thought, emotion, symptom, instead of reacting, we need to respond. And that's where the acceptance piece comes in. But to really break it down and understand it, it takes time, like you said, right? But once you get it, we get to where you are today, which is amazing.
What's cool is that, like, I felt like once I was doing it correctly, I could feel it. Even though it wasn't, I wouldn't say it was like, it wasn't fixing right away, but I could feel that my response was totally different. I could feel that, okay, I'm having a panic attack, and I just say, cool, let's do that, and I'll just be with it for a minute to label it, to acknowledge it, and to sit with it without thinking, oh God, what do I do? Instead, just thinking like, okay, that's what's here right now. Let's label it and look at it for a while.
Exactly. Yeah, no. Amazing. If anyone's wondering what we're talking about, it's in all of Sean's videos. He talks about all the different methods we're referring to in his blueprint report below. It's there, his fearless report as well. Just what accepting is. And we use like the ALARM acronym, right? For acknowledge, label, accept, refocus, and move on, which is what we use to explain how we respond to our symptoms. Once again, it sounds really simple. But I kid you not, like everyone who I work with, it takes time to get it. I also say in my own journey too, like it took me months and months to learn how to respond correctly. Definitely did not take me 3 months. It took me, for me, probably like 6 months just to stop fearing my symptoms. And another 6 months to really get my response really down pack. And then another 6 months or to almost a year of my body just needing time to like simmer down.
Well, and also it's like we resonate with different things. The program really resonated with me. There were certain pieces and things that helped. Having one-on-ones helped, seeing other people helped, reading Claire Weeks along with it, emphasizing that it helped. But I wouldn't say I recovered in 3 months. It took me 15 months. You know, I was trying everything to recover for over a year. It's just that this program helped put me in the right direction.
Really expedited it. Yeah.
Yes. And, but I also get it. It's like it's uncomfortable to change your nature. Like you do have to change your response, and it feels uncomfortable and it feels confusing and not clear at first, you know. And also I saw some people comment like, it's easy to get obsessive about, am I doing the steps right? Am I doing this process right? And I was there for a while as well. In the first weeks, I was always thinking, am I doing it? I don't know if I'm doing it. So I was always like, am I doing this right or not? I don't know. But once I was doing it consistently responding the same, I could feel the difference.
Yeah. That's another really good point, Matthew, because I see that too, where people start taking accepting or responding as another way to fix their anxiety.
Yeah.
Another stressor, right? Oh, I have to respond correctly. I have to respond perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And itself can become another mistake in your journey because it becomes another stressor keeping you stuck, right? So, you know, really important points.
100%. And I was doing exactly this. I mean, it's hard not to when you're so desperate for help, when you're so desperate to feel like yourself again. So yeah, the first weeks I was always like, okay, what were the steps? Am I doing this? And this can, like, if you obsess too much about that, it does. Of course, it's a part of anxiety. You get obsessive about the details and wanting to feel better.
Yeah, no, amazing. So my last question for you is, so what would you tell someone or yourself 15 months ago who, or even like you said, you hit your rock bottom like partway through, right? Someone at the rock bottom, you at your rock bottom state, what would you tell someone at that place? Especially if they're watching this video right now.
Yeah. I'll say it as if I'm talking to myself at that point, because I think I would have loved to hear those words. First, there's actually nothing wrong with you, even though you feel your absolute worst and you're scared and terrified. And It's just you have to take a different approach. You have to turn towards this feeling. You have to be okay with sitting with it sometimes and stop running from it. You have to stop fighting it. You have to let it in, and stop trying to fix yourself, even though, yes, you do have to change your response. These are two different things. It's like, stop trying to fix yourself. Allow what's there to be there and look directly at it and let it be. The more you try to fight and struggle, the worse it gets. The more tactics you try to make it disappear, the worse it gets. And instead, the more that you can study it, sit with it, feel it, let it in, and like put your hands in your lap and stop fighting, the sooner your body will calm down. It really is less is more. It's letting it in and stop fighting, stop running. And I think the first three steps, especially for me, were the most important. It's like, acknowledge it, look at it, label it, and then be with it, accept it. And for me, this meant I kind of, you know, shifted it my own way. I would say hello to it all the time, however anxiety showed up for me, I would say hello. So if it was my legs start shaking, I would say, oh, hello, shaking legs. So this for me was acknowledging and labeling. So I use this as like one step always, or hello, brain fog, or hello, racing heart, or whatever showed up, I would say hello. And then I would kind of explore it, like feel it. And this for me was my way of accepting, like of just sitting down and letting it in and exploring it. So this is kind of like sort of a mindfulness-ish thing. It's just not running from it and seeing, okay, what does it feel like? Or if you're having a panic attack, say yes to it instead of saying no. Instead of saying, oh God, no, what do I do? Say, okay, yes, let's do that. Because it's happening anyway. The more you run, the worse it gets. And it's actually not a monster. It's just that you're scared. It's that you're terrified. And of course you're shaking because you're scared. Of course you can't think in a meeting because you're panicking. You're scared. And all of this really is the natural body reaction to being scared and being terrified. You can't function well in a meeting if you're terrified. And I was terrified every day. So I would say also that there really is light on the other side, and that it's really true. You feel stronger on the other side because you have faced something harder than maybe you've ever faced in your life. You've learned more about yourself and your mind than maybe you ever have. You've learned how to sit with hard emotions. I think I'm better now at communicating what I'm feeling. I'm better at sitting with tough emotions and thinking how I want to respond than I was before. So it helps you grow. And yes, I really could not articulate the first times how I got through. The best way I could articulate it was that I stopped caring. I just didn't know how to recreate that. I knew if I looked back, I was like, okay, the first time I escaped this pattern is because I stopped caring. I did whatever I wanted, kind of gave a middle finger to anxiety. I was like, I'm going to go out and have a good time. I'm going to go on a date, even though I'm shaking. I'm like, whatever. I had a whatever attitude, but I couldn't recreate it. And the steps here, I think, help give an organization to that process of like, yeah, you need to move on. You need to let it be there. Accept it for that moment, knowing it won't be forever, and move on with your day anyway. So you kind of have to shrug and be like, well, I feel terrible today. I still have things I would like to do, and I'll do them the best I can. It may not be the best as before, but that's how it is. It really is kind of that shrug of the shoulders of like, that's what's here right now, and letting that be okay for now.
Yeah, that was a lot, but I think that's everything I would
say. So, honestly, as you were talking, I was thinking I'm just going to end the video here after this because that was so honestly said. I have nothing to add to that. Honestly, like, Matthew, thank you so much for sharing your story. I start off by saying, like, I think it's going to help many people. And every story out there is a story, right? Showing that, showing someone, showing most people that this is not a life sentence. You are able to get out of this. And it just takes some steps, some correct steps, and some guidance sometimes. But you are able to do it. Yeah. So thank you so much.
Of course. I'm happy to be here and happy. I hope it does help someone. That would be amazing.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, everyone. Well, I hope you enjoyed that story. Like always, leave your comments below. And yeah, all the links are in the description box below. How to run the mentorship, free guides, free books, Sean's videos are all there for you to go through, right? And the answers are there. Once again, it's not easy. And I don't never want to say that because it's not. I always say anxiety recovery is one of the hardest things I had to go through because we're literally fighting against our physiology, our body saying run, fight, flee. And we're saying, no, we're safe. So it's hard. But hopefully this story amongst all the others are another, you know, motivation for you to do this because you are able to overcome this. So take care, everyone. We'll see you around. And have a good day.